Chapter 1. January, 1840, just outside Boston, Massachusetts.
Of all the stupid, idiotic things I've ever heard, that absolutely takes the cake.
Ingrid Alland yanked on the plant a little harder than she intended, erupting a wave of dirt that landed on her linen apron. She put the plant in the basket on the ground next to her and shook out her apron, before leaning over and tugging on another one. When Ingrid was upset, she could be found weeding her mother's garden, whether it needed weeding or not. Mrs. Alland insisted on fresh flowers year-round, so she boasted one of the largest hothouses in the area. Mr. Alland built a walkway from the house to the greenhouse so his wife wouldn't even have to walk outside if she didn't want to. Ingrid spent quite a few winter months sitting surrounded by blossoms. Verna Brown was sitting in a chair sipping a cup of tea and laughing. Verna was a year older than Ingrid, with curly blonde hair and bright blue eyes. She had been Ingrid's best friend for nearly 5 years. Verna had several sisters, so she escaped to visit Ingrid as often as she could. They had taken afternoon tea in the greenhouse. It was warm and humid, despite the cold outside. Ingrid would be sitting with Verna enjoying tea, but right now she was madder than a wet hen and needed to expel some energy.
"You're yanking out the flowers, Ingrid, not the weeds."
Ingrid looked in the basket and groaned. She wasn't even paying attention. On top of the weeds sat several small flowering plants.
"Well, I meant to do that," she said in a huff.
Picking up the flowering plant, she placed it back in the soil and piled dirt around the roots.
"I don't think Ma May will notice, do you?"
The winter was mild this year, so the greenhouse was filled with early blooms. Crocuses that wouldn't normally appear until February or March were already peeking out of the ground.
"I don't think so at all,"
Verna replied, casually sipping her tea. Ingrid rolled back on her heels and picked up her basket, carrying it over to the empty seat next to Verna. She removed her apron and wiped her hands on it before shaking it out and draping it over the seat. A commotion drew her attention to the back of the garden, where the man she was upset with could be seen jumping over the garden gate. He gave them a wave and walked around to enter the greenhouse from the far side.
"Weston Chapman!" Ingrid exclaimed, placing her hand on her hip. "If Ma May could see you, she'd be mortified. Gentlemen go through the garden gate."
Weston walked between the flower beds and gave her a wink. Picking up a sandwich from the tray on the table, he popped half of it in his mouth and started chewing. When he was done swallowing, he turned to Ingrid.
"Then again, your Ma May has never thought of me as a gentleman," he said, stretching out the Celtic word for mother.
"That's not funny, Weston," Ingrid exclaimed, her dark brown curls bobbing around her shoulders.
Even though Ingrid didn't find it funny, it was true. Mrs. Alland had been trying to dissuade her daughter from her interest in the young German lad. It wasn't that the Chapmans weren't respectable, they were just German. At least Ma May hadn't forced her hand to marry someone else. English-born Ma May had broken family tradition by marrying Colin Alland, who was a Swedish architect. They sailed to Boston, where they settled in the countryside. Colin designed buildings, and Ma May raised 2 boys, Leon and Elias, and 1 daughter, Ingrid. Ingrid's upbringing was English traditions mixed with Norse and Scandinavian influences. Ingrid sent a glance over to her best friend. Verna's parents had arranged for a marriage to the son of a wealthy family. The son had just returned from school overseas, and his father wanted him to settle down. The two hadn't even met, and Verna was already balking. But Ingrid had been insistent that the youngest Chapman was the man she was destined to be with. They had known each other most of their young lives. Mr. Chapman worked as part of Alland Architecture. Weston was 21 years old. 4 years older than Ingrid. He had reddish-brown hair with a square jaw and a few freckles over the bridge of his nose. His eyes were hazel, and he stared at Ingrid intently.
He was slim but muscular from working in the warehouses in the harbor. About a foot taller than her, Ingrid knew she could embrace Weston and her head would lay perfectly on his chest. She had loved Weston since she was 12. Now that she was 17, she knew she wanted to marry him. That was until she had heard his completely ridiculous idea of packing up all his belongings and moving to the West. Why, it was filled with savages. Ingrid read the stories in the newspapers. It didn't matter one whit to Weston that Ingrid voiced her concerns. He was still determined to move west and make his fortune. Weston moved Ingrid's apron and basket and sat down in the chair.
You have to admit, it was rather funny.
Why are you here?
Ingrid demanded, tapping her foot.
I told you I didn't want to see you. I should probably get going, Verna said. My mother will be looking for me.
Has the engagement been announced yet?
Weston asked, picking up the other half of Ingrid's sandwich.
It won't be if I can help it, she said, putting on her wrap.
She gathered her belongings and walked over to kiss Ingrid on the cheek.
Stop by tomorrow if you can.
Waving to Weston, she gave a smile.
Let her stew for a bit. Then she'll be back to her regular charming self.
A cold breeze swept through the greenhouse as Verna opened the same door Weston had walked through just moments before. Ingrid huffed and dropped into the chair that Verna vacated. She stole a glance at Weston.
Darn him for being so handsome. Are you really going?
Weston finished off the sandwich and nodded.
We are leaving in 2 days.
Why so soon?
Weston shrugged.
Clay wants to leave as quickly as possible, and we need to join the wagon train by May. I heard the Rockies are difficult to cross in the winter.
Clayton Wilson was Weston's best friend. A son of a banker, he wanted for nothing.
If you need to be there by May, why are you leaving now?
It will take over 3 months to make the trek towards Independence.
Independence?
Missouri. It's where everyone gathers to join the wagon trains towards Oregon.
Is that where you're going?
Weston nodded.
What are you going to do?
Weston took a bite of another sandwich.
There's plenty of work out there, he said around bites. I'm going to make my fortune in the mines. Then I'll find a nice piece of land to raise cattle. Might even get me a wife.
A wife?
Ingrid was trying to keep her voice from shrieking.
I'll make sure she's a pretty little thing, too.
He lifted the last bite of his sandwich.
He's a good cook.
He popped the crust in his mouth.
Can plant a garden and raise all our food.
He leaned back in the chair and crossed his fingers behind his head.
Did I mention she had to be pretty?
Ingrid's eyes opened wide as she realized Weston was teasing her.
Well, I hope she has warts all over her nose and doesn't know a weed from a flower.
Weston laughed deep from in his belly. He leaned forward and picked up a flower from the basket he placed on the ground. Leaning over, he tapped Ingrid on the nose with the green stem.
You, my love, do not have warts on your nose.
Are you asking me to go with you?
No, I'm asking you to wait.
Wait?
She bunched the edge of her skirt in her fingers, worrying the fabric until it was wrinkled. Weston dropped the flower back in the basket and leaned forward on his arms.
The sun reflected off the red in his hair. Yes, wait. I don't know what is out there.
Indians?
Ingrid scoffed.
Trappers? Wild animals?
She wagged her finger at Weston.
I read the newspaper.
Then you also know that it is wide open land.
He pointed to the clouds.
Sky bluer than you have ever seen. The land is so fertile that all you have to do is drop a few seeds and you have a crop beyond your wildest dreams.
He sighed at the thought.
The risk is worth the reward.
Why not stay here? You can get married, have a family, work at the architecture firm. Buildings are going up every day. Or you could become supervisor at the docks. There's nothing wrong with that.
Weston scoffed.
The docks make young men old men. I'm not going to do that. I want to work for myself, work the land.
I have dreams, Ingrid.
What kind of dreams?
Weston raised his hand and panned the air.
I see a large piece of land, dotted with cattle. Cattle I raise. There's a large house filled with children.
How many children?
A dozen, at least.
Ingrid put her hand against her belly.
A dozen? That's quite a number.
You have to have that many to work the land, he said.
I'm not bearing that dozen children.
I've not asked you yet, he said with a wink.
You're incorrigible.
I've been called worse, he smiled. Promise me you'll wait, Ingy.
I hate it when you call me that.
Then what should I call you? We've known each other for nearly our whole lives. You had no complaint when I called you that before.
I don't know, Ingrid?
I'll think about it.
I won't wait.
Weston's eyes shot up in surprise.
Why not?
Ingrid waved her arm in the air.
Who knows how long it will take to get out there? By the time you get settled, you would have forgotten all about me. I'll be sitting here pining for a letter I know will never come.
You'd pine for me, Ingrid?
Don't be daft, she said, tapping her foot against the ground. I don't want you to go.
Weston gave a little smile.
Well, I am going. I will ride as soon as I find a place to settle, and I'd like to think that you would come to join me.
Ingrid wanted nothing more than to wipe that silly grin from his face. But Ma May taught her that it wasn't ladylike to show her feelings.
Why can't I go now?
She felt like a petulant child not able to have her way. But this was Weston. She didn't want him to leave Boston. To leave her.
Ingrid.
He ran his hand down his face, stretching his handsome features.
I don't want anything to happen to you. It isn't going to be an easy journey. This is only the second year that wagon trains have gone across the country. It's rather dangerous.
Well, you said Clayton is going? I can't imagine him faring well on a trip like that. He might get his suit dirty.
Clayton met Weston when Mr. Wilson was taking a tour of the docks. The two lads became immediate friends.
His father has some idea for him to get married before summer. You know Clay, he doesn't always listen.
It might make him more responsible,
Ingrid concurred. Clayton had a reputation with the ladies, and it wasn't all favorable. That was why Mr. Wilson hoped his son would mature if he were forced to marry and have an heir. Arranged marriages were more common among the upper class. She would probably run away if her parents arranged for someone to marry her. Ingrid's parents wanted her to marry for love, if the man had means to support their daughter.
Not my fault. From what I heard, the woman his family wants him to marry is less than appealing. She's very headstrong, and I wouldn't be surprised if she has warts on her nose.
Ingrid?
A voice called from the walkway.
You need to go now, Ingrid said. By the roses, Mommy.
Weston shot a glance at her.
Why? We aren't doing anything.
I said I didn't want to see you.
Mrs. Hollande entered the greenhouse and took a deep breath.
I love the scent of flowers in the winter.
She was a petite woman with a thick waist and thicker hips. Her dark brown hair was in tight curls under her day cap, and they bounced as she walked. When she spied the flower bed, she stopped and looked at Ingrid.
What happened to my flowers? I was a little overzealous in my weeding.
Mrs. Hollande said.
Please pay more attention next time, Ingrid. Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon, Mr. Chapman.
Mrs. Hollande said, approaching where the young couple was sitting. She crossed her arms and watched them with an interesting expression on her face.
Mrs. Hollande.
Weston lifted Ingrid's teacup and took a sip.
That's awful, he said,
handing it back to her. Mrs. Hollande gave a little grin.
I didn't take you for the tea type.
Weston laughed.
No, ma'am, I'm not.
She looked around the garden.
Where's Verna? She had to leave, Mommy. Have you been out here unchaperoned?
Weston stood.
No, ma'am, she just left.
Mrs. Hollande nodded.
Are you staying for dinner, young man?
No,
Ingrid replied quickly. The corners of Weston's mouth turned up.
I'd like that very much, Mrs. Allende. Thank you for the invitation.
He sent a glare at Ingrid.
I accept. Lovely. Why don't you come in now? I want you to tell me about this foolish notion of heading west. If you are going inside, you can at least take the tray.
Ingrid handed Weston the tray with a pot, two cups, and a plate of sandwich crumbs.
Are you coming, Ingy?
He asked.
She didn't bother correcting him. I'll be along in a moment. I need to put my basket away.
Weston followed Mrs. Allende back to the house, the tray in hand. She could hear him tell her mother about his preparations for the ride to Independence. Their voices could be heard as they walked down the walkway and disappeared into the house. Ingrid sat in the chair for a moment longer when she felt a tear roll down her cheek. Wiping it away, she took a deep breath. She was not going to cry, and she was especially not going to cry over Weston Chapman. If the man wanted to be a dolt, that was his business. Why did she feel like her heart was breaking into a million pieces? She needed to talk to Verna. Perhaps if it were a large group of folks traveling, as Weston said, maybe they could get their own wagon and join them. That's what she would do. She didn't have to travel with Weston Chapman. She could find passage for herself and Verna out to wherever. It was decided. She would talk to Verna and insist that her best friend accompany her on the trip. It would solve both of their problems. Ingrid could still see Weston, and Verna wouldn't be forced into an arranged marriage. Feeling better, she picked up her basket and apron and headed towards the shed at the back of the garden. She could get through dinner. She'd listen to everything Weston had to say about his plans, and then she'd head over to see Verna first thing in the morning. Putting her basket and apron in the shed, she brushed off her dress and headed back to the house, humming a tune. All she had to do was put her plan in motion.